Till tomorrow afternoon, snow likely overnight with snow, freezing rain and sleet between 1 and 4 a.m. We'll then see rain after. Temperatures climb into the low 30s by 5 a.m., wind chills in the 20s. New snow and sleet of around an inch with little or no ice, then cloudy for tomorrow, rain before 10 a.m. with occasional showers after, tapering down with gradual clearing towards the evening. I'm meteorologist Chris Rosh on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
For 2 hours, every Thursday night at 6, listen in and even converse with the man in the know regarding all matters Greenwich. Listen to Sam Romeo's show, Greenwich Matters, brought to you by Parsonage, where their philosophy is to assist you in living life your way. And by Finocchio Brothers, we knows our business. From the beach to the backcountry, education, recreation, or politics, Greenwich Matters every Thursday night at 6 on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Greetings and a happy Thursday to you. Welcome to Doubleheader on 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com. How you been? What's going on? I'm Rob Adams. By the way, the forecast you just heard, I should probably mention, I'm going to say that's not what it should be. Because the forecast I'm looking at says milder, so we're not under any kind of winter weather advisory tonight. Milder, areas of fog. And then clear to partly cloudy and warm, 27 tonight, or partly cloudy and windy, excuse me, not warm. And then Friday, mostly sunny, breezy, and colder. Powerful storm to impact the area this weekend. Keep an eye on that. But that's it, 36 for the high. There is a storm, I guess, coming in Saturday of some description, although it only says a coating to an inch for us. It did impact the hockey game I'm calling Saturday between Brunswick and Berkshire. Berkshire, of course, coming out of the Berkshires, the kind of lower southwest corner of the Berkshires in Massachusetts. And they were, I guess, concerned about weather from their perspective. So they've backed that 3 o'clock face-off to 1 o'clock on Saturday, and I'll be over there for that. Got to see Brunswick in action yesterday at Martyr Family Arena up at Sacred Heart. And Cushing Academy, you know, outplayed them, frankly. 5-0 was the final score. It happens. You know, the Bruins going through. It's a young team. It's going through some growing pains, but it's a very good young team and a team that can make the Elite Eight tournament, which is pretty fantastic. That's where you want to be in prep school hockey, and it's why the Bruins are in. You know, they play the competitive schedule that they do. So they will right that ship, and they will certainly be a playoff team, and perhaps the basketball team will be as well. I got to check in on them. So that's all the kind of stuff we can get to. There are a lot of things going on as we get to the FCAC playoffs, because that's going to happen very soon. We're going to be off and running on that. And, in fact, the wrestling tournament is this weekend. Tomorrow is the weigh-ins, the round of 16, the quarterfinals, some of the other stuff. And then on to Saturday with 9 a.m. being the third and fourth and fifth and sixth matches, and the championships beginning at 11 a.m. And I think that's an early start to do 11 a.m. I got to call the FCAC wrestling tournament a couple of times, and the start time was a little bit, I thought, well, we went on the air later, let's put it that way. It was 2, 3, 4 o'clock when we went on the air, as I recall. But in any event, that's all the kind of stuff we're bouncing around here. Let me look over at the boys basketball situation for the FAA. And yeah, Brunswick had to what I will call postpone their game yesterday against Hopkins. Hopkins, I guess, was not quite ready to play. Didn't have enough players, enough healthy players. And that, you know, that happened. So to my knowledge, it wasn't a forfeit as of yesterday. Brunswick is listed as 4-1. And so I don't think playoffs are in place yet, but the Bruins would be the 3 seed going into the FAA playoffs. But let's see it. Last check, the Bruins had the game as being rescheduled. So, oh yeah, rescheduled for 2:20 at 4:30. I guess I got to put that on my calendar, don't I? And yeah, I can do that. All right. Look at that. See, the things I learn on the fly. So I am literally, as we talk, I am marking this down for a game against Hopkins. I realize this makes for fascinating radio, but this is how it works, my friends. And we'll go with that being the plan for next week. All right, there you have it. And I think I'm okay calendar-wise. But these are the hoops we jump through. You know, we did this yesterday, too, where the game that I called up at Sacred Heart was kind of a last-minute thing. And again, and I've told you this before, and I know this, you know, this might sound like a broken record, but what the heck, I'm going to go there. There are those who will not do such a game. They will say no to that assignment, which to me is absolutely mind-boggling. And I might even call unprofessional, but that might be too strong of a word to use. But in my mind, if I don't do that game, somebody else will. That's how it works. So in my way of thinking about it, I had texts and information where I said, I can make this happen. Of course I can. Pulled my notes together, and I was ready and did whatever job I did yesterday. That's just how it goes. Anyway, the Jets have announced they are saying goodbye to Aaron Rodgers. That is official. We all knew it, but it had not been official. Well, it became official today. And, you know, it closes out with a 32-20 win back on January 5th, in which he was 22 of 36 for 274 yards and 4 touchdowns, 1 pick. Overall for the year, remember, he played a full season, played 17 games, and 4 snaps in one other year. That's it. If you want to count his record, it's 6-12. Because of that opening night game for the 4 snaps and then everything he played in this year. 63% of his passes threw for 3,800 yards, 28 touchdown passes, 11 INTs, finishes right now at 503 career touchdowns. Is that it? Or will he walk away? I don't know if his ego allows him to walk away. But his ego is a very strange thing. And so, will he go sit in a dark room or on a beach or some other place and make a decision? You know, we told you the story the other day about what Jets management said to him as conditions to come back. They wanted to cut down the outside noise, which I understand. But on the other hand, does he really have to stop doing, you know, the Pat McAfee show or whatever? Is that really going to make a difference? I understand I'm buying in to a football program. I understand that. You should be at, you know, be at the practices, be at the mini camps, be a leader. Do all that. But not everybody does. So I don't know that I feel it's the most important thing in the world for him to stop doing outside interviews. Certainly there are others who do it all the time. Baseball players that do it, you know, consistently. Football players as well. But Rodgers is a magnet, and that was the difference. In the end, it's going to be seen as a disaster, his 2 years here, from the Achilles to this season of going 5-12 to everything that comes with it, the anti-vaxxing and all that stuff, just the outside noise with him. So the Rodgers thing might even be seen worse than the Favre thing the year that Favre was here. And so the question becomes, now what? Honestly, and I told you this the other day, the leader in the clubhouse for Rodgers' services, if realistic, if he's coming back, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And there are already plenty of people around Pittsburgh saying, no, we're good, thanks. We're good. Then I heard a story earlier today that Trevor Lawrence was on his way to Pittsburgh in a trade. Nothing has come of that, to my knowledge, at last check. But I did have friends texting me about it this morning, and I did talk with Terry Hanratty briefly to see what that's all about. And I think he and I are both of the opinion that no. No. Let the Steelers spend a year with, you know, Justin Fields. See if you can make something happen. But in some ways for the Steelers, take a step back for a year and set yourself up for maybe a draft or something else. So I don't, you know. And there are people denying that the Steelers asked about. Who knows? Who knows? I think it's a dangerous move, in my opinion. Steelers need offensive line help. That's the Pittsburgh Steelers. They are about their offensive line. They are. They are about their defensive line. They are about defense, line play, run the ball. And, oh, by the way, if you have a quarterback that can throw for 5,000 like Big Ben, cool. We'll take that, too. And that's kind of how it goes. That's exactly how it is. So, Jets make their news, and who knows where Trevor Lawrence is going, and, you know, there are other bits and pieces floating around. The Red Sox made a big buzz getting Alex Bregman, so now he's off the market finally, but 3 years, $120 million. The math is pretty easy there. Average annual value of $40 million a year. You're talking Aaron Judge territory. How you feel about that? Do you think the Red Sox should be paying 40 per for Alex Bregman? Who, look, I guess the Yankees decided that his swing didn't fit Yankee Stadium. Now watch, he's going to come in and hit 15 bombs out of the Bronx this year. How are the Yankees going to look? I would have been okay with putting him at third base personally. Sounds like the Red Sox are going to put him at second. The last I had heard, I forget. Oh, gosh. Who did report that? It was someone I trust. I know that. I know that. Oh, boy. Hate when I brain lock like that. Let me see if I can find where I read that. But I think, no, it was, jeez. Yeah, I'm brain locking. Forget it. Anyway, Bregman's a good player. He's a very good player. I don't mind it for the Red Sox, personally. I think for the Blue Jays, you'd prefer to have him. And better to the case, the Tigers gave him a really good offer, and he turned it down. So, in my way of thinking, good deal, good for the Red Sox. But he is coming off where he hit 260, 26 homers, and 75 runs batted in. Is that a $40 million a year player? They think it is because he's playing at Fenway Park, where his swing will be tailor-made for it. To be determined. Players are filing into Florida as we speak. We continue on Doubleheader, just getting started for a Thursday. 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
We'll be mostly clear for tonight in the low 20s, wind chills in the upper teens, then mostly sunny for tomorrow. We'll be in the low 30s, wind chills 15 to 25 early, breezy with a mostly cloudy sky for tomorrow night around 18 above. Then snow for Saturday, mainly after 4 p.m. in the mid-30s, new snow of 2 to 3 inches, then early morning freezing rain to periods of afternoon rain for Sunday. With an active pattern this month expected to continue, trees around your home or business can cause massive damage. The winter season is the best time to have them removed. Call Ed the Tree Man and his crew at 203-758-0261. I'm meteorologist Chris Rosh on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Progressive presents Renters MVP's Most Valuable Possessions. Today's MVP, Joe Fallon's bedroom mini fridge. Sure, this pint-sized chiller's max capacity is 3 soda cans, but what it lacks in stature, it makes up in cooling strength. Each beverage a perfect 37 degrees every time. And the 2 feet Joe walks to get a drink? Priceless. That's why his mini fridge is today's MVP. Keep your most valuable possessions protected by bundling your renters and auto insurance with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Jackson Hewitt makes taxes feel like a yacht rock song.
InfoBreeze, give me my biggest tax refund, please.
You, me, and a lifetime accuracy guarantee.
And now get $100 just to try Jackson Hewitt. Does your tax person do that?
Say goodbye to that no guarantee tax guy.
Ready to sail through tax season? Go to Jackson Hewitt and you'll be... Limited time offer for new clients. Participating locations only. Terms at JacksonHewitt.com.
Welcome back. Doubleheader on this Thursday. So Bregman, cheater as he might be, goes to the Red Sox. I think he's like a career 375 hitter there with 7 home runs. It's, you know, batting average is nice. Yeah, you know, it's a good pickup for the Red Sox, definitely. But it's a lot of money. But it's not my money, so I don't worry about these things. I don't get wound up about that. Boy, Marcus Stroman, huh? I mean, Marcus Stroman. I was not in favor of bringing him to the Bronx a year ago, but the returns weren't terrible. He pitched okay at times, and he was bad at other times. But he was a pretty good stand-up guy. You didn't hear him complain about not being on the postseason roster. He basically was invisible. And he was, you know, a moderate part. But it was clear, especially through, say, January, that the Yankees were trying to trade him. Hadn't found a taker. Well, as of today, Marcus Stroman has not participated in the first 2 spring training workouts. He has stayed away from camp. He reported for his physical. He did report. But Yankee manager Aaron Boone said he had an idea Stroman would miss the workouts after speaking with him earlier in the week, reading from ESPN. Boone did say he has spoken with him, but declined to divulge why. Why is Stroman not there? I mean, Stroman does have an out that says he is not obligated to report until February 22nd. And Boone thinks he'll be there in a couple of days. Here's a key quote from Boone. And again, I'm reading ESPN. He's a prideful player. He's a guy that's had a great career where it's a little bit of an awkward situation, obviously. So, of course, I want him here, and I'm trying to keep nudging him to get here. But again, you have to respect the fact that this is something players are allowed to do. There's a mandatory date, and he's choosing that right now. Which tells me he's whining about either not being on the postseason roster or being part of trade talks. He's a complicated guy and he has caused issues before. The trouble he caused with the Mets was, you know, lengthy. Will he be part of this Yankee squad again? I don't know. He made 29 starts last year, a 4.31 ERA in 154 and two-thirds innings, but did not throw a pitch in the postseason. And the Yankees played 14 games in the postseason. 33 years old, he is not projected to be start of the rotation. Because Garrett Cole, Max Fried, Carlos Rodon, Clark Schmidt, and Luis Gil. I mean, that's a pretty good 5-man right there. So he's your 6 long man. And I don't know of too many pitchers that would be happy to be in that spot. So I don't know if he'll be back. Boone doesn't think there's any issue between him and Stroman, but I don't know. I don't know. But in the meantime, you know, early returns from Bomber Camp are fine. There's a lot of noise about DJ LeMahieu, and I'm sure he's in the best shape of his life. Oh, boy. You know, peace and prosperity and happy in the valley. And that's what they're going to try to do to convince you to hang in there, because the Yankees didn't go get a third baseman. You know, Jazz has to play somewhere, third or second. So you're putting Jazz at third, you're running DJ to third, and Jazz to second now? What are you doing? Jazz helped get you to the World Series by playing third base. But he was part of a Keystone comedy of errors, a Keystone Cop comedy of errors in that fifth game. The error went to Anthony Volpe, to be clear, but I felt like Jazz could have come up with that ball. I mean, it was all part of a just an awful fifth inning when you think about it. Of course, personified by the Judge line drive drop, which, you know, the Met fan and the Yankee hater and whatnot will try to continue to shove that in your face like it's Luis Castillo dropping a game, literally. Judge should have caught the ball, bottom line. I'm also willing to cut Judge a little bit of slack because he otherwise played a stellar center field, and do we really need to talk about his offensive? No, we don't. No, we don't. Don't embarrass yourself like that. But that's the problem. In the crap talking of sports fans, common sense doesn't matter. We just talk. We just run our mouths. That's all we do. Speaking of which, I'm going to flop back to football, which I am loath to do, but I'm going to do it. A lot of buzz about Travis Kelce and how his career is either winding up or who knows. A particular play was highlighted. I saw it on a couple of, and I saw it in particular on some pages of people who are just, they just breathe to troll. The Tim Perrys of the world. I don't care. I'll say his name. The heck with it. Where, you know, Kelce's right there as tight end on the line of scrimmage. He steps out and then just kind of stops. And the play is pretty galling, definitely. Hardly the first player to ever do this, by the way. But I'm not necessarily trying to defend Kelce either. In the meantime, Mahomes is scrambling around. I mean, you know, he's basically running to Pittsburgh before he throws the ball. And ultimately, it turns out to be a big nothing burger of a play anyway. But Kelce gives up on the play. He does. What does it mean? What does any of it mean? He looked like a lost man after the Super Bowl the other night. Definitely. Is he not coming back? Will the Chiefs want him back? Is that a question? I think if he's still out there, I want Travis Kelce on my team. Well, what do I know? I saw Saquon Barkley, by the way, was defending Taylor Swift and saying, why are people booing her? They're booing her because either they're sick of her, or they're Philly fans and they're mad that she's a fan of the Chiefs. And she used to be an Eagle fan. And some people look down on that. As usual, she played it off. At the end of the day, she wins. It's okay. The world did not end because Taylor Swift got booed. It's really okay. I think even Taylor's used to it. We have to take a break. More to do. We'll bounce through some of the local stuff. We'll see what else is going on in this big, crazy world that we call sports, and we will continue on. It is Thursday, and we're back after this. 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com.
will be mostly clear for tonight in the low 20s, wind chills in the upper teens, then mostly sunny for tomorrow. We'll be in the low 30s, wind chills 15 to 25 early, breezy with a mostly cloudy sky for tomorrow night around 18 above. Then snow for Saturday, mainly after 4 p.m. in the mid-30s, new snow of 2 to 3 inches, then early morning freezing rain to periods of afternoon rain for Sunday. I'm meteorologist Chris Rosh on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
The words you are about to hear are taken from letters sent in by members to the Trinity Debt Management Program.
Dear Trinity, today I'm making my final credit card payment.
Before I came to you, I was in a constant state of anxiety and panic, but now there is hope for my family's financial future.
Working with Trinity made me understand that I'm not alone.
You really do help people.
Your kindness will never be forgotten.
Without Trinity's support, I would not have achieved my lifelong goal of becoming debt-free.
We saved a lot on interest and penalties, of course, but the reward was the gift of human kindness.
Trinity has carried me through a very difficult time in my life. You're amazing.
I used to feel so anxious and hopeless. Now I feel grace and peace.
God bless Trinity as you continue to help others become debt-free.
If credit card debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
This is Travis Milliman of Greenwich Library. Do you have questions about how AI might impact the job market? Join us at the Byram Schubert branch on Wednesday, February 19th from either 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. or 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. for a special career coach session entitled AI in Action, Job Seeking Strategies for the Digital Age. This workshop will introduce you to the basics of AI and demonstrate how it can empower your job search efforts. Once again, this iteration of the Career Coach will be at the Byram Schubert branch of the library, and registration is required. Please visit www.greenwichlibrary.org for more information, or call 203-622-7900 to talk to one of our librarians. We hope to see you soon at the library. This is Travis Milliman from Greenwich Library on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Back with you on Doubleheader. I'm Rob Adams. It is 4:33 on what has turned into a very nice Thursday afternoon. It was kind of dark and gloomy for most of the day, but the sun has reemerged, that big orb in the sky, the bright thing that is out there. So that's good to see. And not a bad day. I think I saw 43 degrees. I haven't been out all day. I've been working basically all day. But in any event, by the way, other news from Yankee Land, and this is, when you get down to it, the most exhausting, or one of the most exhausting stories. Of course, the Yankees picked up Devin Williams in the offseason. Nice trade, 30-year-old closer, pitched to a 1.25 ERA. Did give up a bad home run in the National League Division Series to Pete Alonso. But, you know, when you throw fastballs, it's sometimes you're going to get beaten. And he threw one, and Alonso sent it to right field. You know, it was a pivotal moment that will stand out in Mets history because that's what they like. They like, you know, Division Series moments, not World Series moments. Oh, did I say that? Yeah, I did. And we have to go through this stupid baloney, and I want to use different words, every year. Devin Williams, until last year, had facial hair. Beard, mustache, whole thing. Devin Williams was traded to the New York Yankees, where, of course, they have the clean-shaven rule. Got to shave that thing. And he actually showed up at spring training with a beard. And then, whew, off it went. This has been going on for 50 years, okay? And it seems more now than ever the noise gets made about the Yankees and their facial hair policy. I realize it's a difficult thing to compare Major League Baseball to any office. And I don't really know who has a facial hair policy anymore in offices. There may be. You know, I've worked in corporate America. It's been a while since I really worked in it on a full-time basis. But there were standards. There were dress – I mean, you know, when I first got into that world, business casual was only becoming a thing at that time. We're talking mid-90s now. You'd get a casual Friday. And even then – there was a point where it couldn't be jeans, and then it could be jeans on Friday. It was there, you know, the goalposts moved, but it used to be suit and tie. None of that jacket without the tie stuff, which is a look I like actually. It had to be full suit and tie, even if it was, you know, the blue jacket, brown pants type of thing. But that's what I had to do. When I worked at Kraft Foods, that's what I had to do. Dress shoes and everything. Didn't matter if it was quality stuff. And believe me, I wasn't wearing, couldn't afford the high quality stuff. You know, you were going and you were getting Sears suits, if you know what I mean. You were getting the Johnny Carson specials. But nonetheless, it was the policy. And so if the policy is shave your beard, then you shave your beard, especially for the salary you're making. And Williams is going to, you know, he'll make some good money. You're willing to make that sacrifice. If you're not coming to the New York Yankees because they have a facial hair policy, okay. I mean, there are all kinds of reasons players don't want to go anywhere. Believe me, for how many years now have we heard Ken Griffey Jr. moaning about that he'd never be a Yankee because Billy Martin treated him badly? I mean, Ken, there comes a point where shut up. We get it. And by the way, how many rings you win, Ken? That's what I thought. You beat the Yankees in 95. Believe me, I know. I was there. Although I was there the night, one of the nights you lost. But you do you. It's an individual thing. The point to me is, I'm not for or against this policy. If the policy were to be taken down tomorrow, I'd be like, thank God. You know what it's like to me? Here's what it's like to me. You get sick of hearing about things. I got so sick of hearing about the Washington football team's name year after year. And, you know, I can remember sitting at in a restaurant at a bar in Ridgefield with a couple of coworkers. I almost felt a little something coming up in my throat. But anyway, a couple of coworkers. And them just, oh, how can they call them that? That name is so wrong. And I finally just looked at them and went, I want them to change the name just so people like you will shut up. That was not a popular opinion, by the way. But that's kind of what this is like. Every year, those who have nothing better to get excited about moan about the facial hair policy. And most of the time, it's people who hate the Yankees. But to me, again, it's a nothing burger. If they keep the policy, fine. It's the policy. It's the way it goes. Teams have rules. Businesses have rules. If they get rid of the policy, fine. Teams have rules. We move on. And there have been people who tried to circumvent it. Thurman Munson did it 50 years ago. What was it? Thurman's 1976 baseball card? He's got a full beard. There are people who will just try to do that. But, you know, remember there was the Don Mattingly thing where his hair was too long. I remember it. It was stupid. And yes, I was right. Thurman Munson's 1976 Topps number 650 baseball card. He has a full beard in that sucker. Mustache and beard, I remember it well.
I can remember getting that card, standing out front stoop of my parents' house. But anyway, the Mattingly hair thing, which made him famous on The Simpsons, so I guess that makes it even funnier. But these are the things we, you know, and I get there's minutia in sports. I love minutia. I'm a uniform guy. I love talking about uniform, but that's minutia. I remember Chris Kalen used to yell at me all the time. Why are you getting wound up about it? Who cares? Well, I care. It's my thing. So, here it is in this situation. But at the end of the day, if the Yankees go out and win, and they're not going to, but if the Yankees go out and win 116 games, cruise to the World Series, win the title, are you going to tell me about the facial hair pop? Well, you will, because you're a Met fan. Or you're a Yankee hater. Which is pretty much the same thing. Never forget, the Mets were created basically because people moaned about the Yankees, and that's kind of what it comes down to. By the way, quick side note, since I do a show called Meet the Beatles, how awesome has it been that Paul McCartney is playing these shows down at the Bowery Ballroom? Pretty fantastic. And the set list each night has been great, but there are only 500 tickets. He's doing it again tonight. And from what I've been reading, realistically, fits 575, but realistically, you're lucky if there are 200 tickets for sale. And they're $50, which is nothing for a concert ticket. Anyway, I didn't even try to go, but I think it's very cool that they're doing it. And like I said, the previous two nights' set lists have been pretty fantastic. All, you know, career spanning. And look, he's 82. His voice is fading or faded. I get it. But there's something to be said about seeing him still, and he can still sing and hit a lot of notes, and he can certainly still play bass with the best of them. But no, songs like Maybe I'm Amazed are tough for him to reach those higher registers. I did have to do a minute on that. I did have to hit on that. Had to. Another thing I want to get to turn my attention, is this absolutely fabulous hockey game last night. Absolutely fantastic in the Four Nations face-off. That was brilliant hockey last night, if you didn't get to see it. Canada beating Sweden, and it took overtime, and it was brilliant. It really was. Catch it if you can. It is worth it. And I think it's going to stay that way. And the other teams, the teams who haven't played yet, which is the U.S. and Finland, they basically made their way back to their hotel so that they could watch Canada-Sweden last night. It was great hockey. Coming down to a 10-minute 3-on-3 overtime. Not a 5-minute, a 10-minute. Meaning you have to rotate your lines faster. They have to keep getting more players out there, and you're going to deal with exhaustion. And whether or not that was the case, that's what it came down to, was getting an overtime winner from Mitch Marner. And Sidney Crosby, by the way, Sidney Crosby, I believe, is 37. 3 points last night? He assisted on the Nathan MacKinnon goal, power play goal in the first period, him and Connor McDavid. Then Brad Marchand, he got a goal later on, made it 2-0. Then the Swedes cut it to 2-1. Mark Stone made it 3-1. And then the Swedes came back. Eriksson tying it up at 8:59. That was dramatic. Played out the rest of the game, tied at 3, and then Marner and OT at 6:06. And good night. Exciting. Great stuff. Great. Absolute. I'm just going to... If you've ever watched Olympic hockey, you understand. And this had that feeling to it. that it's going to be this kind of white-knuckle play. So tonight, and it's between Turner and ESPN. So ESPN gets it tonight, 8 o'clock, U.S. and Finland. And I would say I'm going to be settling in front of the TV for that one. Absolutely worth it. And look, there are players taking part in this. You know, I know Chris Kreider is at the very back of the depth for the U.S., but there are local guys. That's what I'm getting at. There are local players as a part of this. And, man, what's not to love? And all the stars you would want. Ovechkin, Sid, Austin Matthews, McDavid, Connor Bedard, Tkachuk, McKinnon, Leon Draisaitl, you know, Brad, Artemi Panarin, on and on. Oh, yeah, this is good. This is good. Although I'm shooting out names just of NHL players, but you've got big-time players in this tournament. That's what I mean. Not all the names I just mentioned, but this is good stuff. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. So I would highly encourage you to keep watching it. Let's take a look at the preview tonight. Yeah, just from the Rangers alone, the U.S. has Adam Fox, Chris Kreider, JT Miller, and Vincent Trocheck. Pretty good right off the bat. Jack Hughes among the Devils. He's playing for the U.S. Yeah. Go check it out. Go check it out. Absolutely true. 4:47 here on Doubleheader. We are back with basketball tomorrow night. Greenwich and West Hill boys basketball from the high school. I will be there. 7 o'clock, 6:50 pregame show. Hockey on Monday. Greenwich and Fairfield. I'm going right back to Martyr Family Arena up in Fairfield. And basically I reached the point at one point yesterday. I said, I am calling that game whether I come in and hold my phone to my ear for 2 hours or I set up a snack tray table. But I think ultimately I'll get up on the press level and yeah. That's kind of how I will leave it at that and play nice. Yeah, I'll just leave that. I'll leave that right there. Leave that right there. From the NFL, again, you know, because the NFL just remains a constant conversation worth having. And you look at what's going on. The Rams could be breaking up. Stafford and Kupp could both be gone. We talked about Russell Wilson and where Aaron Rodgers might wind up. Would Rodgers go to the Steelers? Wilson out? Well, would they bring that back Justin Fields? You know, there's all kinds of moves to be made. And that's the great part of all of this, is the shifting around. And we'll continue to shift around, no question. Let's shift over to college basketball for a moment. We'll visit with the men. And again, Danny Hurley finds a way to make himself really the center of attention. Do you hear him about him junk talking, I'll put it in those words, with fans at Creighton, waving two fingers at him for two rings? That's what he does. He gets under your skin, he trolls, and the down part of that is that eventually the act wears thin, because he's not just coaching the team, he's now mocking the win. And it'll lose its luster eventually. UConn grabbed a 70-66 win over Creighton in Omaha. This was back on Tuesday night, and decided to taunt the fans by going, bye, two rings. Mm. Fun when you win. Not fun when you lose. But right now, he gets the results. But apparently there were 18,000 drunk fans there, so I guess, I don't know. I'm a win with, you know, grace type. That doesn't mean Danny Hurley's going to be that type, you know? Yeah. St. John's is going to move its final home game of the regular season over to the Garden. March 1st against Seton Hall will be played at the world's most famous. You know, they've got Carnesecca Arena, and Carnesecca Arena is charming, definitely. I've been in it. It's very cool to have been in there. But it's not the Garden. The bigger games always, and we're talking going all the way back to the 80s, the bigger games got moved to the Garden, as it should. It's the Mecca. It is home. And it's, you know, it has long been the destination of the Big East. Doesn't matter who the powerhouse was. You know, back in the day of Georgetown playing at the Capitol Center, and I'm talking a long time ago, going out to Landover, or the Hartford Civic Center for UConn, or, you know, obviously the days of the Carrier Dome when it was still known as that for Syracuse and so on. No, it was St. John's and the Garden. That was a big deal. And so, no reason to not have the Johnnies, who are 21-4, head over there. 21-4, 12-2 in the Big East. And they had 16,000 at the Garden when they beat Marquette back on February 4th. And 19,000 against Providence. But for St. John's, the expectations are rising. And their highest ranking in the top 25 in 25 years. But Rick Pitino has got them playing great. Got them playing great. It's fun. It's fun to see St. John like this. It's fun to see them that relevant again. Even though they're coming off the loss, 73-71 to Villanova, it's still a lot of fun. And Pitino calling fans out nicely on Twitter and saying, you know what, don't blame the refs. We got things to fix. Give credit where credit's due. Villanova beat us. We'll come back and wrap up for a Thursday right after this.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
We'll be mostly clear for tonight in the low 20s, wind chills in the upper teens, then mostly sunny for tomorrow. We'll be in the low 30s, wind chills 15 to 25 early, breezy with a mostly cloudy sky for tomorrow night around 18 above. Then snow for Saturday, mainly after 4 p.m. in the mid-30s, new snow of 2 to 3 inches, then early morning freezing rain to periods of afternoon rain for Sunday. With an active pattern this month expected to continue, trees around your home or business can cause massive damage. The winter season is the best time to have them removed. Call Ed the Tree Man and his crew at 203-758-0261. I'm meteorologist Chris Rosh on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money, but if you can get both, why not? Especially when it comes to healthcare, and that's MediShare. You get both. The typical family saves $500 a month and they love it. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. So yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Call now. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE.
Hi, this is Sid Mark with the Valentine Sounds of Frank Sinatra. Well, what do you believe, that love is really lovelier the second time around, or is it just a tender trap? Some folks find themselves glad to be unhappy, while others, they're unhappy when their lovers have gone. We celebrate Valentine's Day this week on the Sounds of Sinatra.
This Sunday evening from 5 till 7 on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Well, Last couple of minutes together, I see the Rangers have a little announcement that came out this morning. Sam Rosen night will be Saturday, March 22nd at the Garden, in which they will honor the 40-year voice of the Rangers. I mean, Sam has done it all. He really has. And called it all. Obviously, this one will last a lifetime. June 14th, 1994, when the Rangers won the Cup. And for some of us, it is a lifetime. Because it's now 31 years later. And the way the Rangers have played, they're no closer to winning one this year for sure. Kind of felt like maybe last year, but no, they petered out. They faded. And Sam is pretty encyclopedic. Did years of the NFL, among other things. Big baseball fan. Big Yankee fan, as a matter of fact. And you think about the guys he has worked with. John Davidson, Phil Esposito, Joe Micheletti. Yeah, Sam's a good one. He's a good man, too. So that's you knew they would honor him somehow. You just didn't know when and how. They have not really leaked out many details of what it will be like. They say in this release, the team will commemorate Rosen's storied career and impact on the Rangers organization with a special pregame on a ceremony. The contest will also feature special Rosen-themed experiences and entertainment in the arena. You know, could they do a banner for him, maybe? You know, you don't have a Monument Park there to do. You in that kind of parlance, you do a banner, maybe. Or you name the booth after him or something like that. So we'll see what the Rangers do. But I like that they're honoring, and you knew they would, but I'm glad to know that that's an official thing. 4:57 here on Doubleheader. Kind of ran out of time to talk about the FCAC, but, you know, it's getting close. I mentioned the FCAC wrestling tournament is supposed to be this weekend, tomorrow and Saturday. Girls basketball begins a week from Saturday, as does boys basketball. Noon tip-off at Fairfield Ward for the boys. And 11 a.m. at Staples for the girls. I'm trying to remember what's on my schedule for the 22nd. Okay. We do have a hockey game that night. Okay. But anyway, and we'll see where Greenwich winds up. You know, what seed are they going to be? But the semifinals then move to Monday night. The girls will play at Trumbull. And the boys go to Wilton, and we'll kind of, you know, I think I'll be on one of those. I don't know what yet. I don't know all the broadcasting plans. And then the 26th, the finals are still listed as to be determined. 7:30 for the boys, 5:30 for the girls, but they have not announced where. I have heard where I think they're going, but it's not confirmed. And then boys hockey starts on the 22nd, where they play the first round games, the semis on the 27th, and the final at Sacred Heart on the 4th. And do they have girls ice hockey? Semifinals are on the 26th at Darien Ice House, and the championship is on Saturday the 1st at the Darien Ice House. And okay, that's all I have to add. Music's playing, which keeps me out of trouble, which is a good thing. I will likely talk to you tomorrow before I go over to the high school for Greenwich and West Hill basketball, so we'll likely chat again to wrap up our week. It'll be a week of, I think, 4 shows in the end. Look at me. So just that pesky hockey game yesterday. Black remains not a Mets color. I don't care how many different uniforms they try to bamboozle you with. I'm Rob Adams. Have a good night. We will talk to you next time. Laura Smith is up next. She reminds you to live inspired. That's all the energy I have. We'll see you next time. Enjoy your night. Thanks for listening to Doubleheader. 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com. Adios.
This is your community radio station serving Lower Fairfield County and Westchester. 1490 WGCH in Greenwich.
Reporting. Egg prices may go even higher.
There are no signs. Prices for eggs are going down. The government says egg prices hit a record high last month, $4.95 a dozen. That is just the national average. In some places, you could pay $10 a carton for eggs. It's being felt in the stores.
We're just getting less than what we order from our suppliers, and we're compensating by occasionally limiting what customers can buy.
Market owner Joe Trimble in Alameda, California, says most of the time his shelves are only about 25% full.
You're just expected to be there in the same way you expect there to be milk.
I'm Ed Donahue.
President Trump has rolled out his plan to increase U.S. tariffs to match the tax rates that other countries charge on imports. The Republican is possibly triggering a broader economic confrontation with allies and rivals alike as he hopes to eliminate any trade imbalances. Trump said Thursday, today is the big one, reciprocal tariffs. The GOP-controlled Senate has confirmed Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to be the next Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services. More from correspondent Bernie Bennett.
Kennedy was confirmed 52-48 with every Republican voting in favor, except for former party leader Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky. Democrats unanimously opposed Kennedy's confirmation despite his long history of left-wing views on abortion and environmental regulation. On day one of his confirmation hearings, Kennedy addressed Republican concerns about his support for late-term abortion and Roe v. Wade as recently as his presidential campaign. Largely deferring to President Trump, Kennedy promised pro-lifers that he would restore freedom of conscience protections and end federal funding for abortions. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
On Wall Street, the Dow up by 342 points, the Nasdaq rose 295, the S&P advanced 63. More at townhall.com.
Heard me talk about Relief Factor and how so many people enjoy a better, more pain-free life because of it. If you're dealing with everyday pain, it makes sense you'd want to try it first. Well, Relief Factor makes that pretty pain-free, too, with their three-week quick start kit for only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that fights pain naturally. Relief Factor doesn't just mask pain temporarily. It helps reduce or eliminate pain. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF for Relief Factor.
For many out on the streets with no address, when the hope dies, it's hard to be found.
You get these people off our streets now.
It's not that simple.
They're human beings. Where are they meant to go?
Homelessness could happen to anyone.
I don't know how much longer I can do this.
Their story is our story.
You never know in life why things work out the way they do.
Never give up.
No Address, starring William Baldwin, Ashanti, and Ty Pennington. In theaters February 28th. Get your tickets at noaddressmovie.com.